As y'all well know, this is the second Sunday of Advent. Last Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, a candle was lit. Does anyone remember what the first candle was? The prophet's candle. So today, we're going to go ahead, if I can get this thing turned on. And this being the second Sunday of Advent, what does this one represent? Angel's candle. Does anyone know what Advent means? The word Advent. It's an event, but it's about coming. It's a coming event. And as we celebrate the Advent season, we're actually looking forward to the celebration of the first coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus always was. But he was born on this earth. And so there's actually in the scripture telling the Christmas story, seven occurrences of where angels spoke to different ones here. And the first one was a man named Zechariah. He and his wife Elizabeth for years and years had wanted a child. They had no children. And they were well up in age, and they figured, well, we'll never have children. So one day, Zechariah was in the temple, and he was doing his priestly duties and whatnot. And you can imagine, he wasn't a very happy man because of the fact they had no children. So lo and behold, an angel came and said, Zechariah, guess what? Your wife, Elizabeth, will have a child. And he kind of doubted and he says, how can this be? We're both well up in age. And because of his doubting, the angel told him that I'm stand before God and what I'm telling you is for the truth. Now you understand the fact that they could have a child would be a miracle performed by God in their behalf. Now, guess who this child would be?
John the Baptist.
Very good. So, John's principal service in the angels was telling Zechariah that when he came, he would prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So, the preparation for the coming was to be John the Baptist. So Elizabeth, she became pregnant with child. And about 6 months later, the second occurrence of an angel was to who? Mary. Mary was a young lady, espoused to a man named Joseph. Joseph was actually a descendant of David, which was biblically foretold that this Messiah would come from that lineage. So they still were not married, but she was approached by the angel Gabriel, and he was telling Mary, you will have a child. And she said, how can this be? I'm not even married. So the angel told Mary, you will get with child from the Holy Spirit, and this child shall be the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, because she wasn't married, Joseph, the espoused or her fiancé, he was thinking, because he was a just man, he was going to put her away privily, meaning without a big uproar. The third approach of angels were to Joseph, and as the angel came to Joseph, the angel was telling Joseph what was to happen. Not that this child would be from the Holy Spirit. Not to worry. So because of what the angel told Joseph, he went ahead and they got married. So then they had the child, the baby Jesus. And who was the third? The fourth, really, I guess. Now, the angels would appear to shepherds in the field. You would think an announcement of such a big thing about the coming of the Messiah might be to a king or to princes or to some well-to-do person. But the actual shepherds in the field tending their flock, these were not verily, you know, high estate-wise people, but they were the first ones to hear the announcement of the coming baby Jesus. So when the angel came, and in all instances when the angel came to these people, it was a shocking thing, because to see an angel for real, it was actually a terrifying thing. But the angel told them, said, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you tidings of great joy." You got to remember, this was the greatest gift to mankind ever received. The fact that we would receive in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a person that's going to save us of all our sins. So the next occurrence was the whole heavenly host of angels came down, and they were singing praises to God and glory to His name about the forthcoming of the fact that the child had been born. So when they left, there was visitation by the wise men and the shepherds and whatnot. Then the next occurrence of the angels in these people's lives.
Joseph again telling them to go to Egypt.
Exactly. Why?
Herod.
He was a jealous king. And he thought, he thought Jesus was coming to take over his throne. And so he was wanting the child killed. And so he told Joseph to take the child and Mary and to depart into Egypt so they could be safe away from there and until he could be notified again. So the last occurrence in this story, biblically, and when we say story, we're not taking this like a something that wasn't true. This is Scripture. This was the Word of God telling us. The angel appeared to Joseph again and told him to come back to their land because it was safe now, because Herod had died. But the fact when they came back, the son of Herod was now king. And so they didn't really trust him either. So they left and went to Nazareth, which was biblically foretold that Jesus would be a Nazarene. So all this points us toward the fact that when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And of all the things that we could receive by presence or word or whatever, can never be as great as what they brought to us in the form of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason we celebrate Christmas and Advent, being the celebration of the coming of our Savior. And what? Kids on.
Well, have you felt the Christmas spirit yet? Or are things getting in the way? You know, most people that I interact with on a day-to-day basis, they have a peace issue. They don't have any. Why? What about the people you know? People in the world, we use that expression. People who are out there running around from day to day, the next thing, the next fire, the next emergency, the next urgent thing drives what they do. The next need, sometimes very genuine, drives what they do, what they think, how they live. When we live like that, and maybe you've lived like that, there's not a whole lot of peace. You stay troubled. You have a lot of questions. Things are uncertain. I want to talk about peace today, because we live in a world that needs it desperately. But a more important question, even than what's going on in the world, which makes sense, is, do I have peace? You. Do you have peace? Are you living a life that's governed by peace. I'm going to go in some places today that you're not going to expect me to go. Maybe, unless you're really sharp. Not because you have to be real intelligent to figure this out, because truth is, it's a whole lot simpler than anything we could logic ourselves into. It's just simple. Let's look and see one thing that Jesus said before he left. Let's start there, even before we get to the story, because we're going to talk about the angels. But I want to listen to one thing that Jesus said before he left. It's in John chapter 14. He said this to the disciples who were with him. It says, he replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." That's a great promise. "Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching, and these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you." And then we come to verse 27. And he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." So he doesn't give us peace like the world gives peace. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." As we enter into talking about peace, what troubles you? What is it that you let get underneath your skin, spiritually speaking, and rub you so that it just aggravates the fool out of you? Or what is it that gets in there and starts as a very small concern and then eventually wells up into a tidal wave of fear? Those are the things that rock our world, and those are the things that keep us from experiencing peace. What do we try to find peace within? What do we reach for? Because whenever we start to feel that wave, whenever we feel that wave begin, we feel this thing coming over us we can't control. It might be, I don't have enough money at the end of my month. And so I allow that stress, that anxiety that comes with not having enough, wear me out. It may be that there's a relationship that has gone bad. It may be me and my boss. It might be me and my neighbor. You know, maybe it's my neighbor thinks I've put a hole in their pipes and now they've got a leak, and it was wrong, but they thought that that's what had happened. So they go off on me. And so now there's this stress between me and my neighbor. Or it might be those folks that I live with, the ones that are supposed to be nice, warm, and fuzzy all the time. And we have this interaction, and all of a sudden, things are not the way that, well, I'll just say they're not peaceful. Or it might just be the control of the everyday details in our lives. It may be today you thought you were going here, and somehow all of a sudden somebody else is telling you, no, you've got to go over here. Or you think you have this plan, and all those plans you had, all of a sudden they get reconfigured. And nope, that's not your plan anymore. The everyday detail, all those things, and you can fill in the blanks, because there's a whole lot more, can take us and wrench us out of whack. And you can feel it coming. The tidal wave is a coming. It's a nice ebb. It moves to a powerful wave. And all of a sudden, you're in over your head. And it's just absolute lack of control. And where we've gone from is what we thought was going to be such a nice day. And all of a sudden, that nice day, where I thought I was going to be, all of a sudden it wells up into anxiety and fear, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm frozen. What happens when we realize we don't have control is fear. And here we have Jesus saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. He has peace. He gives peace. Now, one of the problems with the way that we understand this, before I launch out into this story about the angels, is this. We want to receive everything passively. We want to get the gift of peace, like just, God, put it right there in my pocket. And I'll carry it around, okay? Just give me peace, God. Just give it to me. Lay it on me. Change me. And that's not the way it works. So let's look at the story for a minute. Let's go to the angels. What Russell so wonderfully led us to here. In Luke chapter 1, when the angel comes to see Mary, says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. You and I would be wondering the same thing. You see, she woke up, the day was going great, and all of a sudden, she has this whatever talking to her. She may have heard about angels. She hasn't got a clue as to who is addressing her. And then you get this message. She is not telling Mary a message that a 14, 15-year-old young lady is wanting to hear. She was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. 14-year-old, 15-year-old young lady. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. Now, I think I would have asked a bunch of other questions too. And I think I would have felt that tidal wave of stuff coming if I had been Mary. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word of God will ever fail. Now that's very important, but then we look at the next passage. What does verse 38 say? Mary says to the angel, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. And then the angel left. Pretty remarkable. Let's look at the next angel. This one went to Joseph. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph was her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. That's rational, right? Chaos has come. It only makes sense, but he was a good guy. He didn't want to make a big deal out of it. He did not want to hurt Mary. Something wasn't right, but he was going to handle it with integrity. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, what does he say? Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until after she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So we know that Jesus is the source of peace. We've talked about that. We've talked about these angels. And we've talked about what's the first thing that these angels said to each one of the people they talked to. What did they say first? Thank you, Brian. Do not be afraid. If we look at what Jesus said in that John 14 passage, he said, essentially, there are two polar opposites at work here. One is peace, and the other is fear. Do not be afraid. I give you peace. So he positions those two things in opposition to one another. The angel here, as we look at the first little interaction, the angel with Mary, told her not to be afraid. And then he said the same thing to Joseph. And then what he told Mary was going to happen, she submitted willingly, remarkably, and chose something very important that we're going to talk about this morning. And then Joseph, after he received this dream from this angel, telling him what he was supposed to do, he woke up and he acted on what he heard. So Mary said, yes, do it. Joseph got up and lived the way he was supposed to live. He made the choices he was supposed to make, even though what looked like it was going to be very ugly from both of their points of view, they got up and they did what God told them to do. You cannot tell me in that culture that there was anything that was going to be positive about a 14-year-old having to deal with a pregnancy she had to explain. Especially after she came back from being with Zechariah and Elizabeth, and when she left, no one knew she was pregnant. When she came back, she was showing. In that culture, it was chaos. Her life was in jeopardy. That was trouble. And you got Joseph. He was wanting to do the right thing, and now he finds he's got to be a man of courage, and he has to do the right thing, even though it is going to be the hardest thing he's ever done in his life and may ever have to do in his life. Folks, they were facing stuff that wasn't going to bring them peace, but there was one thing that caused them to have peace. I'm going to get there. Then we get to those angels singing to the shepherds, the heavenly host. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace. Peace. Peace upon whom His favor rests. Peace. Jesus said, I come to bring you peace. Do not be afraid. So what do we have to do to activize, to create a word? Actionize. I don't know, whatever. This peace. Because we've already disclaimed, you can't just say, give it to me. God, come on, just put it in my pocket and let me carry it around. It doesn't work that way, so what do we have to do? We can't earn it. That's not what I'm talking about. Something has to be done. And that something is a choice we have to make. John, pop the Romans 15 passage up there. The Apostle Paul had a really good rear view mirror view of this. Because he's speaking after Jesus. After Jesus has been resurrected, after Jesus has gone to be with the Father, after he's gone to be an advocate for us. And so here, he gets to look back in the rear view mirror. And he gets to see how all this works. And what he says in Romans is very important. Now this is a blessing that he was praying for these Roman believers. But what he says is very important to us. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, Dane preached on that last week, and peace, got it this week, in, what's that next word? Believing. So we need to talk about that word for just a minute. What did he mean when he used that word, believing? And I'm going to tell you the word that I'm going to use whenever he uses that word. The word that I'm going to use is trust. Trusting God is the foundation whereby we get to experience and receive peace. Here we go, guys. Here's the simplicity of this, and here's the difficulty in this. You and I have to choose to trust God. And if we don't trust God, we won't have peace. And the reason why the people in the world can't have real, genuine peace that lasts any time at all is because there is a struggle within them. They will not allow themselves to trust God. And if I have an idea, there's some of us today who still struggle with that, even though we know and we believe who Jesus is. We struggle with trusting His plan, His ways, the very way He lived, the fact that He was humble, that He did not assert Himself, that He placed others first, that He served other people. We struggle with everything about who Jesus was, if we're honest. Especially when we realize that's what we're supposed to be like. That in believing, joy and peace, in believing, in trusting, in putting it into action in our lives is the thing that we struggle with. But the truth is, if we trust God, we will find that we have peace. Let's talk about that for a minute or two. We can only speak about the world that we understand and the way we perceive it, right? So in our culture, whenever we use the word believe, it's a word that is locked up in our heads. Because to believe something is to have an intellectual assension to a fact. And if I believe it, it means I say I agree with that fact. But when Jesus and when the people who were writing these letters in the Bible, when they used the word belief, they weren't talking about a fact. They were talking about acting on what you knew to be true relationally. So here we have a belief that's not just fact, it's what we do to make our lives be shaped around. So trusting what God said is exactly what Mary did. She said, "Yes, sir, God, whatever that angel said, do it." And Joseph got up, and the next day he went and he took the step of courage and said, "I will take her into my life, even though everybody is going to come and criticize her and then criticize me too. And there's going to be people who are going to say things the rest of our lives. Bring it on." It was a choice to trust God and His plan. Now here's the deal. Neither one of them would have ever chosen that plan. That grief, that trouble, that trial, that problem. Ever. You and me, we have to do the same thing when we face stuff like that too. If we want peace, it's not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of the struggle. It is trusting God in it and through it. But we don't like to hear that. Because you see, we buy into the culture that says, well, if you're a Christian, none of this stuff should touch you. You shouldn't have any trouble. You shouldn't be upset. It's a lie. It's not the absence of all the stuff that everybody else deals with. It's the realization that God is in control. Now listen, it's not a fatalism saying God's just going to beat me up and I just have to take it. It's the reality that we live in a fallen world and we have an enemy and the enemy comes after us. And God chooses not to remove all the crud from our lives that the enemy can dump. It's the fact that God is a transforming God and He is in the middle of it with us and He can take all that junk and He can do great things. He can take all the enemy's stuff and change it so that then it brings glory to God. If we will just trust Him, trust His plan, trust His ways, trust His values, trust that He cares, that He is with us, that He loves us. If we will trust, when it doesn't seem easy, we'll find we have peace because He's in charge. We know He loves us. We know He's got our backs. So even whenever people we love die, we know that if they were in Christ, they are with Him. And we don't have to fret about that because we see the long-term thing. We know, statistics prove, one out of one dies. There's no mystery till Jesus comes back. It is the way that it is. Trust. It is hard at times to trust that God's plan is better than mine. Because see, I got it all lined out. I know how life should be. I know what my next step should be. I know what I want to be in the future. If my plan is better than God's plan, and I believe that, I'll have no peace. Because I can't control it. Can't make it happen. But as we live and we trust that God's way is best, that what He says is best, that the things that I don't welcome nor understand nor desire to happen in life, if I understand that God is with me, that He is going to deliver me through it, in it, and that He is going to bring glory to His name in wherever I am, as long as I'm trusting Him, His way's best. And it brings about His purpose and His plans. And I don't know better. And I have to trust His way. And sometimes it's things that are even that you don't want to talk about. How about that? Trusting God through it. The world will tell us that peace is something where we're saying that every circumstance in our life has to be right. And that's not true. Peace isn't latched on to all the circumstances. Peace is latched on to the person. It's trusting God, believing that Jesus has got our backs, that He's with us. It's not the absence of all that stuff. It's knowing that God is in charge and that He can transform even the crud into something that'll glorify His name. God's at work. He cares about us. If we don't believe that, we can't trust Him. But the reality is, at least for me, if I will be honest and I take my own little rearview mirror look back at life, I can see that any time I've ever trusted God a little bit, He's done a whole lot more with it than I thought He would. And that has bolstered my wisdom to trust Him more, because I've seen what He's done in the past. So the deal is taking what I know right now and trusting. And then realizing He'll take that, He'll grow it more. And what happens when I trust Him is that I'll become more and more peaceful. More and more things don't rattle me anymore. I still get rattled. I'm human. But there are things that used to warp me out that don't warp me out anymore. And it's all because that's the way God works. When I trust Him, I have peace. And I believe, if you're honest, you would say the same thing. So this morning, as we bring it to the end here, if there's a place in your life where you know that you need to trust God more, I encourage you to take that step. I once wrote a story. It was a weird story, but it was about a guy who was on the rim of a big pool. And he was trying to walk around the rim of the pool like a tightrope walker. And then finally he decided that he would just give up and fall in the pool because he was so tired of trying to balance on the rim so that others would think he was something special. And when he fell in, I won't go through all the details, but the water felt a lot thicker than it was. It wasn't really water. And when he came out, he looked up and he saw all the other people who were on the rims of the pools doing the same thing he was. Maybe you need to trust God And it may be that you have to just fall in and be immersed again in His love, in His grace, and receive His peace as you trust Him. So that's what we're going to pray about. Dane's going to be up here. I'm going to be up here. If that's a prayer that we can share with you today, and you want someone to pray with you, we'll be here to do that. But there may just be something that you need to be praying about where you are. Or if you want to write it on the back of that card, you do that too. Everybody understand? This is pretty clear, pretty simple. I really want it to be, because I believe that God wants us to know this, and He wants us to accept this, and He wants us to live this, because this is what He has for us. Peace. All those angels, that's the thing that they said. Peace, not fear. Peace, not worry. Peace, trust. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You that You make Yourself clear and plain. I want to thank You, Lord, that You love us enough to speak to us, even speak to us through Your Word. You've spoken to us through angels. And Lord, now You speak to us in the quiet through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would reveal areas in our lives where we are not trusting You. And because of that, we don't have peace. And Lord, if there's somebody here today who has not trusted You, who You are, the Lord of the universe, the Savior of our souls, the One who died on the cross and was resurrected, who's in charge, if we have not trusted You and accepted what You've said about our lives, that we're sinners, we're imperfect, we need a Savior, and that we need You, Lord, I'm praying that we'll trust You in whatever way we need to trust You today. Come speak to us, Lord Jesus. Do you need a benediction? Or do you need marching orders? I'll give you marching orders. How about that? Let's bow. Father, go with us as we leave this place. Lord, keep speaking to us. Help us to trust You more fully with the simple things in our lives and find that the reason You came is the reason we live. Because we have peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, I send you. Amen.